Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts. Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where? Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Well, we're going to do it live.
Screw it. We'll do it live.
Come on, Charleston. Let's go.
Do it live.
We'll do it live.
Me and Bill Riley.
Do it live.
Bill O'Reilly.
Hello, everyone. I am Kimberly Adams. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense. It is, thank God, Friday, June the 30th. Made to the end of the month, too.
Made it to the end of the month, end of the first half of the year. I'm Kai Rizal. Thanks, for everybody, for joining us on the pod today and the YouTube live stream for Economics on Tap.
And who? Yes, we're going to have some... Oh, yeah. We're going to have some drinks, which we will certainly need. We're going to have news, and then we're going to do a game. But before we dive into the news, we're going to talk about that drink that you just enjoyed, Kai. Go for it.
Okay. So let's back up for a minute. A couple of weeks ago, although I haven't been here like in a month because I've just been traveling and vacation or whatever. So maybe like 6 weeks ago, Kimberly did a smoke thing on one of her cocktails. And we had a whole discussion about that and this and that. And then about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I walk into my office and Daniel, our security guard, is there. And he says, hey, some lady just dropped this off for you. And I said, OK, fine. So I looked at it. And I should tell you that from time to time, people actually do drop off beer at the studios, for which I'm ever grateful. Anyway, so it was beer in a bag with a kit that said it's the Taijin Luxury Cocktail Smoker Kit. And there was a letter with it from Kate Gilbert, who lives here in Southern California. And she said, Kai, I delivered this in person because I can't send butane through the U.S. mail. And I went, oh. Kimberly's demonstration of her smoker inspired me to get one of these. It's less fancy than hers, but it's intuitive to use and very effective. I tried it with Oakwood chips on the Sky Kraken Hazy IPA, and the results were surprisingly complex and really tasty. So I thought I would challenge you to do the same, she writes. Try smoking the IPA or one of your other favorite drinks. I think you may like the results. So, first of all, I have a six-pack of Sky Kraken Hazy IPA in my fridge now, and I pulled one out. Mm-hmm. Whoops. And I had a sip. And so, first question I have to you, Kimberly, before I get this going.
Yes.
Is this enough room in the glass?
It'll give you enough to get the vibe. All right. Yeah.
Okay.
That should be fine.
All right. So, I'm putting the
smoker thing on. I see a lot of
cardboard
boxes behind you.
There are cardboard boxes. I'm in an old wooden shed. I'm gonna tilt the camera down here so you guys can see what I'm doing.
Yes. Help us all.
There are a whole lot of cardboard boxes. Yeah. Anyway, and there's going to be fire here in a minute. So here comes some wood chips, and just like a pinch or two. Is that what I'm guessing, Kimberly, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like a pinch or two. That's a large
There's like
pinch,
a little.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
you're, that's
well, then
fine.
I'll do
Go
one
for
small
it.
Pinch.
You want to like
Am I right?
make it full, but not like
oh,
over.
All right.
Don't
well,
pack it in.
So it, all right. Yeah. I will not pack it, but I will fill it.
Yeah. Yours looks
okay.
Like the opening looks a little bit bigger than mine.
So that's that. Now I just torch this thing?
Yeah, but I'd move it a little bit further away from your mic than that.
And here's Willow, who wants to play catch. And I'm like, no, dude, there's going to be fire. But I have to tell you, my computer is resting on a cardboard box, too. So I'm a little... Look,
like, move it to the side.
We'll do it live.
Like, to the side of the mic. Not.
I can't
move...
No, because everybody has to be able
whatever.
To see it, right?
Okay, right, okay, go ahead.
Oh, my God.
Famous last words.
Radio journalist immolates self in shed. And so do I torch this, and then what do I do? Do I just let
so
it smoke?
Hold, yeah, just let it smoke. So, like, just
right.
fire it until the ashes kind of burn down. Until this, yeah. There you go. Yep. You see, you've
there
got
you go.
Some good
More?
Smoke, so just leave it there for a minute. No, you've got a lot of
okay.
smoke in there. Just leave
All
it
right.
for a minute.
Okay. All right, I'm going to leave it for a minute. Why don't you tell us what you're having? Oh, my God.
So I actually forgot what it's called. It's some kind of sake cocktail because Ellen, who writes our newsletter, was saying something about sake earlier this week. And she was like, you should do a sake cocktail. And I'm like, bet. So whatever this one is, it's in the newsletter. And it has many, many ingredients, which was a lot to do in like 5 minutes. So they're all in here. It's got some cherry liqueur, it's got some vermouth, it's got bitters, it's got bourbon, it's got sake that I actually got from this really cool company in DC that has like a sake subscription service, which why not?
Nice.
DC sake. And so, and it's very pretty. So I guess it's like a sake Manhattan or sake Sazerac-ish. Anyway. And I like it. It's actually really nice. It's like a Manhattan, but like milder. The sake kind of like tamps it down a bit. Yeah, would drink again. Would drink again.
All right.
Let's see what your
now
drink
what do
looks
I do?
Like.
Am I done, right? I mean, here it is.
Yeah.
It's been smoking, and I'd like a sip of beer.
So
the smoke
take
is
it off.
Okay. All right.
And swirl it a little bit.
Okay.
Swirl it because you want to get the oils from the side of the glass, and you have to smell the smoke. It's part of the experience. You have to sniff it.
Yeah,
there you go.
But it's just like smoke. I mean, it's like sticking your head in a campfire.
It.
All right.
Yes, which
I
smells great.
I want to that smoke because it's bugging me. Hold on. No, this is going to be terrible for people listening on the actual pod because I'm just sitting here like waiting. So there's a little something there. I don't know. So it's on the finish.
It's on the finish.
Yeah, it's on the back end, for sure. Don't hate it.
Okay.
Not sure it's a value add. I will have to try it with actual distilled spirits because beer, I'm not sure beer works.
Yeah, and also maybe try it with a smaller amount of beer in a glass and maybe let the smoke sit in it longer to infuse more.
Okay.
And
yeah,
that might
might
do it.
You could definitely see how letting the smoke sit on the stuff longer would definitely help. Yeah, all right. Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. We'll try again. For sure. We'll try again.
All right, cool.
I also did it without setting myself or my house on fire. So, yay.
Well done, Kai. Well done.
Yay.
We're all very proud of you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, well, should do some news.
All right,
why don't you go first?
Because
you have a lot of... We're talking about the same stuff, but you go first.
Okay, so this has been a very big week for the Supreme Court. There were the decisions today about denial of service to protected groups. There was the student debt ruling, of course. And then yesterday was, in my opinion, the biggie, right? The rejection of race-based affirmative action in higher education, which will, of course, trickle out through this economy in ways that I don't think either this country or the court is ready for yet. But what I want to talk about is a footnote in Chief Justice Roberts' opinion about the service academies. So let's remember he is in the process of saying that race-based affirmative action is not allowable in decisions in higher education. And then he has a footnote that says the United States, as amicus curiae, contends that race-based admissions program further compelling interests at our nation's military academies. No military academy is party to these cases, however, and none of the courts below address the propriety of race-based admission systems in that context. This opinion also does not address the issue in light of the potentially distinct interests that military academies may present. Now, let's remember what's at issue here, right? The case you have to make for denying due process of law under the 14th Amendment, equal protection, is strict scrutiny, right? And that has two tests. It has to withstand strict scrutiny. There are two tests. One is a compelling state interest, and the other is that it has to be narrowly tailored. And I would suggest that while it is clear that there is a compelling state interest in the national security implications of allowing the service academies to retain some form of affirmative action in having a more diverse officer corps leading an ever more diverse enlisted corps, right? I would
or
also
even if
submit
you need
that
people with language skills.
Right, totally. There is an equal compelling state interest in diversity in higher education. And I can't for the life of me understand how the Chief Justice and the five other conservative justices can make this distinction and not acknowledge the compelling interest that we have as a nation in diversity. That's where I got hung up on these things. I spent all night, not all night, but I spent a good couple of 3 hours last night reading these opinions, and it escapes me. It just escapes me.
You know, for a party that really prides itself on telling government to stay out of the business of private industries and entities,
right.
And,
oh, yeah, totally.
And businesses,
totally.
This is an awful lot of guidance for how private businesses, yep, and entities should be, yep, running their operations. I mean, that said, yep, the federal government also stepped in to forcibly integrate universities as well. So, you know, take that, yep, with it. So mine is also about this, but it's about those ripple effects through the rest of the economy that you were talking about. So Politico really lays this out very clearly, because there's something called disparate impact, which is something that the federal government uses to determine whether or not a regulation or a policy might be racially damaging to certain racial, mm-hmm, or ethnic or minority otherwise disadvantaged groups. And it may be that a law or a policy isn't on its face racist, but it has a disparate impact on one particular group, and right, therefore, right, the federal government will use that disparate impact in order to create or revise policy to limit or address that disparate impact, especially if it's a negative impact, right? So by saying that you can't, this affirmative action ruling, the Politico article argues, this is sort of the first step in sort of unwinding all of these other things sprinkled throughout the economy that are designed to address racial injustice, including disparate impact. And they say that conservative judges have had their eye on disparate impact and how it shows up in the government for, you know, more than a decade now. And this is a powerful new weapon to their repertoire, for it is impossible to talk of racially disparate impact without talking of race. So there are important disparate impact provisions in both state and federal law. I'm reading here from Politico. Just this, mm-hmm, March, the, mm-hmm, Housing and Urban Development reinstated a disparate impact housing rule that was withdrawn by the Trump administration. The main federal employment statute includes language prohibiting disparate impacts, although there's some debate as to how effective it is. Illinois and California also have broad disparate impact prohibitions in their laws. So one of the ways that this could start showing up in other parts of the economy is wait until we start seeing people challenging disparate impact and whether or not policies should be set. You know, the federal government makes contracting decisions based, mm-hmm, on sometimes wanting to have contractors that represent women or underrepresented minority groups. Yep. Yep. I imagine that's going to be under attack because it's effectively a quota system for allocating federal dollars. So yes, this is the beginning of a process that we're going to see show up in a lot of other places in the economy. And I strongly recommend this. And I should also say, while we're looking ahead, the Supreme Court also has decided to take up a case for next term on the Second, yeah, Amendment, which is worth keeping an eye on. This is going to be whether or not people under domestic violence restraining orders can possess guns. And the, right, person who was under domestic violence restraining order who wants to carry a gun argues that the federal law banning people from doing it violated the Second Amendment. And we have some real strong Second Amendment defenders on the court right now, okay, in you know, a very expansive interpretation of that amendment. And that is going to be coming up. It will be another big, you know, precedent-setting term next year. So buckle in.
Yeah, I guess the only other thing I would say about this, and look, this ventures into territory somewhat beyond the scope of this podcast, but so I listen to Pod Save America every now and then, because honestly, they get a little bro-y for me and they kind of bug me, but every now and then they're kind of on it, and I don't remember whether it was Tommy Vietor or Dan Pfeiffer who said, you know, elections in this country these days are decided by fewer people than can fit into Dodger Stadium. Right? It's that few people in a handful of states.
That reminds me, we should do a deep dive on ranked choice of voting and where it stands.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
Because that's, Yeah. That's one of the policies that seems to actually be picking up some steam.
Yeah. Here's another one we should do, honestly, just because this fascinates me no end, and it's way outside our bailiwick, but probably next June we should do it. Textualism versus originalism.
Ooh, yes.
Right?
That's a fascinating topic. Yes.
Isn't it?
I mean, look,
the best thing that ever happened to me. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I remember sitting in my college level constitution class and they were saying, have to stick to, what the original founders intended. And I was like, they intended for me to be enslaved and not own property and so I can't really go off of that. So what do you want to do here?
Right. Yeah, no, totally. And look, the best thing that never happened to me was getting into law school. Right. I applied, ever got rejected from every law school I ever applied to, but things worked out. But I do find it endlessly fascinating. The study of, as an amateur, the law is totally fascinating. So anyway, let's put that in the hopper for next June, because there will be more of it,
For sure. Yeah. All right. That is it for the news. We are going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to play a round of this or that.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
All right, it is time for our game today. We're switching it up. Well, so I'll explain that in a minute. So let me do the game intro first, right? So we're going to switch it up. We're going to do a little bit of this or that. Pretty simple. Drew's going to run through choices. We have to pick between the two, this one or that one. But so I'm smelling my beer. Here's what it is. When I was a younger man, every now and then I would have a cigar. And without fail, every morning after you wake up having had a cigar, and probably one too many, right, of a beer or a drink or whatever, your mouth tastes like an ashtray. And that is a little bit what the inside of this glass smells like now. And also, you know how I said I tasted the smokiness on the back end? Mm-hmm. There's like a residue in my mouth.
Yeah, there's
and I
oil.
Wonder if that's a function. Yeah. So here's the question. Do distilled spirits, liquors, cleanse that feel from your mouth? And is it the beer that's not doing it? Or is that just part and parcel of smoking your cocktails?
I think that the distilled spirits probably cut that a little bit
cut
more.
Cut it a little bit. Yeah.
And a beer... because I was drinking a non-alcoholic beer mixed with pomegranate juice yesterday, actually, because somebody gave me all this non-alcoholic beer. I don't like beer, and so I'm trying to find a way to make it taste like something I would drink. And I feel like that sort of roundness of beer won't absorb that smoke. That's the best
I think that's exactly right. That's what's going on here. So, yeah, Kay Gilbert, thank you for your gift. I appreciate the beer. I'm not sure this is for me, but I'll try it with a bourbon.
Try it with bourbon.
And we'll figure it out. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Anyway, so this or that, Drew.
Okay, it's a special 4th of July edition of this or that. So would you prefer a 4th of July backyard barbecue or a beach day?
Barbecue. You can have both.
Not for most of both? America, Kai.
Says the guy living in Southern California. All right, fine. That's fair. So look, it's going to be 95 in LA this weekend, and I want to go to the beach, but it's going to be a zoo. So I'm going to take the barbecue at my brother-in-law's house because he's got a pool.
Yeah, I'll take the barbecue just because it gives you a bathroom nearby and cleanliness things and kitchen so that you can actually get all the food ready and go in and out. Yep. And I feel like, again, chaos at beaches on a holiday weekend. I was driving back from a story today and passed one of the beaches on the Chesapeake, and it was already starting to fill up. And I was just like, nope, hard pass.
Pandemonium.
All right, what's next?
All right, summer staycation or summer vacation?
Finances permitting, I'm going to want to get out of town. Really?
Summer staycation. Because, really? And I talked yesterday about the singles tack, singles privilege is being able to go on vacation, not dependent on when your kids are out of school. And so I tend to not usually go on vacation in the summer because that's when, you know, A, our colleagues with kids kind of need that time off. And also hotels and resorts and things are packed. And so I like to go on my vacations like in the winter or in like, you know, the middle of March or something like that. So in the summertime, I'd prefer a staycation.
All right.
All right. Star Spangled Banner or America the Beautiful?
What about God Bless America? Kate Smith. Come on. Why do we only
That was not an option. I mean, I guess you can choose that one.
I'm choosing that. God bless
America.
Yeah, I'm taking that one.
Both of those other two have some problematic history behind them. Yep. And so I'm going to say no to both. And yeah, let's go with Kai's suggestion instead.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Look at that. Host rebellion.
Yeah, don't get too cocky out there.
Sorry, Drew.
I make the rules still. Fireworks show or drone show?
Oh, fireworks. I mean, you know, atmospherics permitting. Like, if you're on the East Coast or anywhere in the Canadian smoke zone this year, my guess is your city's going to cancel the freaking fireworks. But
I don't think my city's going to cancel the fireworks.
Is that right? Are they going to do it on the mall? Are they going to do the patriotic fourth? What's it called? Fourth?
A capital fourth or something like that?
Capital fourth, right? They're going to do that?
Yeah, they usually do. When it's like kind of drizzly, they've done it in the past. So I will take the fireworks. I have so many like fun childhood memories of fireworks, and we have so much technology in our lives. It's kind of cool that, you know, a technology that's been around for thousands of years still like inspires joy and awe. I love it.
Amen. Absolutely. There you go.
Yeah.
Last topic.
Okay, everybody in the YouTube chat, get ready to vote, and we will vamp while we wait for you all to weigh in. Go
Very
for it,
well.
Drew.
At your backyard barbecue, are you going burgers or hot dogs?
Oh, I have thoughts on this, actually. And also, as a sub-question, are hot dogs sandwiches? I just made that up. I don't know.
And do hot dogs include bratwurst and
Polish
sausage?
Now we're like four layers deep.
Half smokes, which is a DC thing.
Isn't half smokes like a Philly thing? I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, I'm not trying to get in anybody's fight. I keep my food fights to St. Louis stuff. I don't. I've lived here for a long time, but I'm not touching anybody else's like food culture fights. Absolutely not.
You've got to go with what you care about.
Yes, I'm like know your abilities here. We're vamping, I will show everyone Jasper unconscious on the bed since he didn't make his appearance.
That's so many because so funny rather because a lot of people are saying where's Jasper. They're also saying, by the way, I should tell you, I don't know if you saw this go by. They're a little worried that your painting is crooked.
Oh, yeah, it probably is. Sometimes I like to leave my painting.
Don't wake him up. What are you doing? What is that?
They wanted to see him.
But now you're the worst.
I'm not the worst. Willow came to you with a ball in her mouth, and you ignored her. So
I had fire in my hands. I had fire in my hands.
Here,
I'm sorry.
I'll give the cat a treat. I'll give the cat a All treat right. and it'll make everything better.
Oh my God. Come on, man. All right. Anyway.
All right, we gotta do this. What's your answer?
Anyway.
Let's close the
poll.
I'm
all burgers all the way. I'll take a hot dog if that's what it is, but give me a good burger, some toppings, boom. I'm good.
So, to be honest, I usually have neither when I'm grilling. I will do, like, brats occasionally, but it's mostly, like, you know, I tend to go all out when I'm grilling. And so it'll be like shrimp and steak and like some veggies from my garden and ribs and ribs that I started in the oven and then you finish them on the grill. And it's like you can have hot dogs and hamburgers anywhere. If I'm grilling, it's going to be something more than that.
I need to come to one of your parties, man. You throw a good party.
Yes, you do. They're a blast.
I need to come to one of your parties. All right, so here is the result, 153 votes. Burgers, 81%. Hot dogs, 18%. I expected something closer, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. And also, I don't particularly love hot dogs or hamburgers myself. So, you know,
well, that's
I don't really, you know, do whatevers. All right, that is it for us today. We had a nice chunky show today. A quick programming note before we go. We will be out next Monday and Tuesday for said grilling that I will be doing on 4th of July and for the holiday. And we will be back on Wednesday. In the meantime, if you have a question, an idea for an episode, if you have thoughts on our little sample segment that we tried out yesterday, or if you have ideas for any other segments you'd like to hear us try, please let us know. We're at 508 UBSmart. Also, makemesmart@marketplace.org.
We're game for pretty much anything, as I think regular listeners will know. Just guessing. Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Bergseeker. Today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe. Drew Jostad wrote the theme music for our Friday game. Our intern is Neelafar Shabandi.
The team behind our Friday game is Emily McCune and Antoinette Brock. Marissa Cabrera is our long-suffering senior producer. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcasts, and Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital and on-demand. She puts up with a lot from us. She really
does. They're all long-suffering. They're all long-suffering. We just get to play on a Friday, and they're like, oh, my God, we have to cut this, and we have to get this out of here, and we have to load it up. And I'm like, yeah, man.
I have the big shaker today because, like, I absolutely messed up my measurements. And so, like, I had my little cocktail shaker, and it didn't fit. And
so you got more? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I've got like probably four drinks in here because I didn't realize the recipe was for a group.
You need to go see what the neighbors are doing. That's all I'm saying.
My neighbors are drinking. They're always drinking.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Jerez, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.